mayhem is everywhere. And the question is, are you protected? Can you be protected? Well, Jesus said, or never said, you won't have bad days, or you won't have days filled with mayhem. He actually said this. He says, in this world, you will be plagued with times of trouble. Now, when we were looking at those little situations, those big situations, they involved property and things like that. But the reality is, Jesus never promises, he never says, you won't have bad days, or you won't have bad weeks, or you won't have bad months, or years, or seasons, or in some situations, life. He never, ever, ever says that. But for some reason, in our minds, when something difficult blows into our life, whether it's property stuff, whether it's financial stuff, whether it's health stuff, whether it's relational stuff, whatever is the delivery agent of our mayhem, of our bad days, we are not inoculated from it. Even those of us who have said yes to Christ are trying to follow him pretty well, not perfectly, but we're trying to move in that direction. We are going to find that we still have bad days. So isn't this a great Sunday to be here? Go home and, sorry, bad days, wait for heaven. But Jesus says this, but take heart, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. And when he says this, it's his last instruction time to his disciples. Jesus is about to be arrested, die horribly on a cross, and they don't know what's coming next. So when he says, I've overcome the world, they're like, yes! And then within hours, everything slowly, quickly starts to unwind. And yes, Jesus was right. You will have troubles in this world, but he was wrong. He's not overcoming. Jesus had pointed to it countless times that he was going to suffer, that there just had to be, but they continually missed it. Again, they didn't like the fact that Jesus never said, you will not have troubles. We've already looked at, Jesus never said, if you forgive, I will forgive you. Have to listen to that message. He never said, God, go and God wants to make you happy. And last Sunday on Easter, we saw that he never said, you get what you deserve. Have to listen to those messages. But this is another one of those kinds of things that you could find on a t-shirt, a bumper sticker, a little slogan, these little things that Jesus never, ever said. Because it's just like we're a magnet. We live in a broken world. We're broken in the sense that we're not perfect. We sin. We let selfishness rule our day. Sometimes the things blow into our life. And sometimes the mayhem is something that we personally create.
This might be too much tool, but that something's going to have to talk louder over all this noise. You can win my tools. I'm forfeiting them for my own good.
I watched 2 minutes of a 9-minute tutorial. Then I rented the biggest chainsaw I could find. Why? Because it's the biggest chainsaw I could find. Now I'm calling my shot. Right there.
And if you've got the wrong home insurance, you could be DIYing these payments yourself. So get an Allstate agent.
And be protected from mayhem. Like you.
Piece of cake.
Why'd they do that to me? No, I did it to myself. But that's the truth. We do it to ourselves. There's the bad days that happen because of us. God never said you could do something, do I say it, dumb or stupid, and you'd be insulated from it. Jesus never said you won't have bad days. So you got to expect it. You got to realize it. Love that last song that we just sung, new song. So we're kind of getting the rhythm of it. But sounds like what Jesus said. Jesus said, in this world you will be plagued with times of troubles. I've told you all this so that by trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. We talked about peace last week, shalom. Not overcome by feelings of entrapment. But take heart, be encouraged, I have overcome the world. Do you feel like an overcomer today? And that's not to put you down and go, wow, I don't, so I must be, you know, a loser or something. I don't feel like an overcomer. No, it's to put it out there and say, you can be and feel like an overcomer. Because if you've placed your trust in Christ, if you've said yes to him, and he's a part of your life, you are an overcomer. We're just passing through this chapter of life. And the next chapter of life will be where all of a sudden everything comes into focus. So in the meanwhile, we want to live faithful lives. We want to take on the bad days, the bad seasons, the mayhem of life, and have an unshakable assurance because we know God loves us, that we can trust him, that we can walk through it, that he can use our worst days, our worst seasons to grow us. Did a lot of listening and study on this verse and these ideas. Those of you who have ever been bedridden or stuck where you can't move a limb, and it doesn't take that long, but all of a sudden that limb starts to weaken. You know, you think it kind of feels okay because you're just not doing anything with it. Yeah, atrophy, that's what it's called. I know when I ruptured my Achilles tendon, the first time I had it out of the boot, and I couldn't even move. I couldn't even do one revolution on my bike, and I had been riding that thing an hour and 15 minutes for like three times a week for like 20 years. I could actually see the calf was smaller. But then when you go to the gym and you work out and you feel like your leg is going to fall off, it's actually getting stronger. Same thing happens in our hearts emotionally. When we don't use those spiritual muscles, weakness sets in. And when we use those spiritual muscles in the tough times, in the bad days, in the bad seasons, our muscles grow. We get stronger. We get stronger because life is hard. I want to be stronger in life. There are things that you and I are going to face that are part of a broken world. Do you want some strength? Do you want to be prepared for them or not? It's a tough place. But again, you can have a joy. You can take heart. You can be encouraged because Jesus has overcome the world. He's saying this before dying on the cross, before his torturous event. He's saying, I've overcome the world. You too can be in that mindset. And it's not a mindset that's just pie in the sky. It's you know what's coming in the second chapter. And so, the bad days. I mean, we're all going to experience them. Not a surprise. This may sound a little morbid, but I'm going to say it anyway. When we moved my parents, and they willingly moved out here 2+ years ago, the reason we had them move out here is we knew they weren't getting stronger. They were getting old. Dad's 93. Mom's 35. Shame on you, Bill, Dad, for marrying someone so much younger than you. But I said, there's not going to be a surprise. There's going to be a health event. It's going to happen. That should not surprise. It should be like, oh, dad, you're sick. Oh, mom, you're sick. Surprise. No, that is going to happen. So getting stronger and ready for those days makes sense. It's sticking your head in the sand not to be ready for those days. So you will experience bad days. So you need to realize that. Peter writes, remember, this is the person who denied Christ when during his worst days and then turns over a new leaf is just too weak. It has a new operating system, a new strength. He says, my friends, don't be surprised at the painful things that you are now suffering, which are testing your faith. You could say exercising your faith, strengthening your faith. And there is this concept, not that we earn our way to God, not that we earn our forgiveness, but there is this concept that when you and I are faithful in this chapter of life, there's some kind of representation of that faithfulness in the next chapter of life. It's all over the place. Paul says, I run the race. I want to finish it well. I want to be faithful. There's this idea. Don't know what that's going to look like. Joke about this often. That doesn't mean you're going to have a nicer car because you're more faithful when you get to heaven and everyone else is going to be driving a Yugo. Doesn't mean that. It's beyond our understanding. It's not some cerebral, angels singing in the background. It's going to be some kind of, we're physically restored. We see Jesus as a body, but it's different. So anyway, we will experience bad days, but we want to prepare for them. Mentioned this real easy. You're currently in the middle of a bad day or a bad season. A bad day is coming on the horizon. You don't even know about it. Or you're just walking away from a bad day and that is finally over and you're like, oh, it's finally coming together and I'm free of this. Or you're discovering that you're going to be stuck in it. My Achilles tendon is healing, but it's not the way it was before I ruptured it. Not sure if it's going to ever be, I'm going to ever be the athlete I was before. You go, well, you weren't an athlete before. Yeah, right. Come on, the PT should be able to do something so I'm even better, like the $6 million man, and nobody knows who that is. But anyway, so be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It doesn't make your faith genuine. It reflects a genuine faith. Last week we had 4 people get baptized. Getting baptized didn't make them have faith. It was an expression of their faith. The way you and I handle the bad times, we get backed into a corner, and our default response to that is proper, that shows that our faith has really been changing in our heart. When you are in situations, they don't let me even near anything. One time they let me drive the truck at the fire department, but I kind of hang out there and pretend I'm a volunteer fire department, a little bit, but I'm there for support and those kinds of things. But we do all these training things. So that when you're in the heat of the moment, you kind of just do it. It's like those of you who remember learning CPR, they don't call it anymore, but that, Heimlich maneuver. I don't know why they don't call that anymore, but someone can tell me later. But anyway, those kinds of things, you tried to learn those things so that when a crisis happened, you just acted. The same thing is true. We want our faith growing and developing. So when you and I are facing a bad day, I don't go, this is happy when I'm going to exercise really hard and I know it's going to be a hard workout. At least I'm not like, oh, I can't wait to work out. Those of you who love to work out, I don't like you. Who get off the exercise, whatever, and go, I feel invigorated. I just feel tired. I want to go home, take a nap. It doesn't make me feel better ever. But anyway, I wish it did. Maybe then, I'd exercise less with a spoon of ice cream than anything else. But anyway, you get stronger. It represents something. We want to be able to, when we're in that, we want it to be responsive. We want it to be second nature. We don't want to have a filter. when something, you know, bad happens. I think I mentioned this to you earlier that, you know, Rivers was over a couple weeks ago. That's our grandson, and he made this these little, like, dents in this table. Somebody helped us with finishing it, and there's just these dents, and they're like someone took a screwdriver and went like this, and I don't know what he used. He did not have a screwdriver in his hand, but he used something. Maybe it was his fork. And, you know, when my kids were young, I would have, like, flipped out. I didn't even have that response. Oh, isn't that kind of cute? You know, I should put a little sign, done by Rivers, you know. What's up with that? You know, no, I didn't really feel that good about it. Stay away from my car. That's all I can say, Rivers. There'd be a completely different response. All right. But we want our responses to come out of a growing faith. When someone says something horrendous to you and it begins this bad, terrible, no good, horrible day, you know, Alexander style, yeah, you might want to bite your tongue a little bit, but you don't want to have to be like, you know, duct taping your mouth, because if you didn't, you'd be like destroying the person. You don't want to have to filter everything. You want to grow your faith. And again, as we grow our faith, is it shows that it's genuine. That's a wonderful thing for ourselves. It's a wonderful thing for the people around us. And also, it ushers some kind of faithfulness into the next chapter. We're living for eternity. So this idea is you are positioned for bad days. Again, we just talked, they're either on the horizon, you're in the middle of one, or you're just getting out of one. That is your position. There's no other position. If you live on planet Earth, be prepared. Bad days are coming. Not, you know, pessimistically, don't welcome them into your lives. But when they come, just don't be surprised by them. Sometimes bad things happen. We're not going to read through this, but I encourage you, if you get a chance, it's kind of fun to read Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Many of us who know the story would love to have that kind of bad day. The bad days we're experiencing as adults make this a good day. Different age, different stage, what is considered a bad day? Some things are just what they are. You know, when you've got young children, you're growing up, and you start to get used to it. Some of the things that just unnerved you, freaked you out 4 or 5 years early, just kind of, it's kind of the thing. Kid runs in, they've scraped their knee, blood's everywhere. Kind of like, okay, come on in, you know. First time that happens, you're like, ah, call 911, you know. You're just, you know, you grow into that. So where your age and stage, you want to be growing in how you handle your bad, terrible, good, horrible days, because you're positioned for it, because you can't move to where? If you're Alexander, where can't you move? Australia, yes, that is correct. There's one person who knows the story. Okay, you're positioned for bad days. You can't move to Australia. We go back to John 16:33. In this world, you will have troubles. You'll be plagued with them. I told you this. It wasn't a setup. It wasn't like, follow me and everything's going to be sweet and wonderful. No, Jesus tells them this. But by trusting me, putting the weight of your life in my hands, you will be unshakable and unassured. And it's amazing that Jesus says this, because the night of his arrest, they were not unshakable. They were not unsured. They were bailing as quick as they could. It's even... I think in John, we hear that one of the guys had like a sheet on, and he was so scared someone grabbed him, held his sheet, and he ran off with no clothes on. These guys were like running away, but deeply at peace, not overcome by feelings of just being trapped. Today, if you feel trapped, maybe it's because you don't have a real relationship with Christ. You can ask him into your life. You can say yes to him. Maybe you're a Christ follower and you're feeling trapped. We're going to talk about how it's possible not to feel trapped. It doesn't mean we're not aware, but we're just not trapped by what is going on in our life. Because Jesus says, I've overcome the world. It's interesting, earlier on in verse 28, basically Jesus sums up everything there is in the scriptures, everything what the scriptures point to in one sentence. I came from the Father. It talks about Jesus being precarnate, existing before he was born. Then he comes into the world. We celebrate that at Christmas. Now I'm leaving the world. That's the cross. And I'm going to the Father. And when he goes to the Father, he is our advocate. He creates this world, God does, in the Trinity. And again, that's hard to understand. One God in three persons. God is looking at this world. He makes this world. And he's watching the story unfold. And he falls in love with this world. Tim Keller talks about a author, and I can't remember her name. But basically, she had written these murder mystery kind of stories. And as she's writing them and she's developing this character book after book, she all of a sudden realizes that this character is lonely. And personally, she kind of like starts to like the character. And you see in the next couple books, she introduces this character to a person like herself. In a sense, she writes herself into the story. And as the story continues on, this person steps in and helps this hero kind of live the rest of his life. He's getting ready to go over the edge, and she writes her personality, who she is, into the story. She comes alongside this murder mystery guy and saves the day. And that's exactly what Christ did for us. He wrote himself into the story of history because he loves us, not because he wants to put us down, because he loves us. So how do we get through those bad days? How do we prepare ourselves for those bad days? I wish I could give you some, like, magical thing, and you go, oh, I've never heard that before. Ooh, wow, you know, and, you know, on the way out, take this little booklet, and life will be perfect. It's that simple. Take this pill, and you'll be great. And it, in sense, is that simple, but it takes the work of the gym, if you will. Takes the work of saving. Thinking about this all the time in my own personal life, I need to be making investments in my spiritual account so that when I want to write a check, when I want to have a withdrawal, there's something in there. A lot of us, when it comes to our finances, there's not much in there. And when we have a breakdown, car breaks down, and we want to write a check to fix that, it's not there. Some of that's just the world we live in, and some of it's because we haven't been making investments in the car. There should be no surprise when we're driving an older car that it's going to break down. It's like, oh, surprise. No, that's what cars do. They break down. Spiritually, we break down. We need to be making deposits in that account so there's something to withdraw. So we're positioned for those days. Jesus says this. He says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. These are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. Sometimes we think of spiritual life as like a side dish. Church is a side dish. It's like the appetizer. It's like a nice dessert. No, it needs to be the center of our lives, following Christ. Following Christ. The lifestyle that all goes into that isn't just to help our standard of living, isn't just because we know if we do these things, life goes better. I mean, that's a side benefit. We need to work these things into our life. And when we do, we have built our life, our house on a solid rock. Some of us are very familiar with this. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. Question: are you investing into your spiritual life in a sense so that you are fixed to the rock? When the bad day comes, when the storm comes, when it rains and the wind is howling and whoo, you know, and the house is moving, representing your life, does it stay put? Does it stay standing? You know that really crazy windstorm we had, I don't know, a few months ago, maybe now it's 6 months ago. Actually, I had somebody come over because some of the shingles on my roof had blown off, and I could see that black tar paper, and I knew that was not good. I just knew that, you know, when it comes to construction things. So I had somebody come over, and they, and so far, so good. What is the house of your life? Is it standing? There's no magic. It is regular investment in your walk with God. It starts with saying yes to him, inviting him into your life. These families that were up here are saying, we are going to try to regularly invest in our family's orientation, the way we live, so that it's easier for our kids to follow Christ. And I'm going to say that happens. If you're blowing off following Christ in your life, when it comes to your family, your kids are not going to catch it. They're absolutely not. And you can do the surface stuff, and they get it. They know what's most important in your life. They know what gets you jazzed, what gets you engaged, what gets you excited. And some of us need to go back to our kids or maybe back to our grandkids and apologize because we set a track record that we don't want our kids to follow. Because now we're saying, oh, don't live this way. And they're like, well, that's the way you lived. You set boundaries like this, and they see the rhythm of your life, and those boundaries you had, they don't have. So they go way off. So building your life on the rock. It poured down, the river flooded, or tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. Most of us know what's coming next, but if you use my words in Bible studies, oh, that sounds good, but don't work them into your life. You're like a stupid carpenter. My house, we weren't allowed to use stupid, so I say that with you. Like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. Hate to say this. If your life, a part of your life, hopefully it's not your whole house, but if that addition is collapsing like a house of cards, it's probably because you built it on sand, not on rock. So what do? Rebuild it. Go back to the first part of this passage where Jesus says, build it on a rock. Build it on the rock. Build it on God. And then find the next time a storm comes through, that will not collapse. When Jesus concluded his address, the crowd burst into applause. They had never heard teaching like this. It was direct. It was clear. It was without excuse, and these folks actually liked it. They didn't like pussyfooting around on the issues, you know. Little nice thing over here. Hopefully, read. He was direct. Either build your life on my words, take heart, trust in me, and build your life on a rock, or don't, and build your life on a sin. They wanted to hear that. Be like going to the doctors. Do you want them to tell you what's really going on, or do you want them to tell what's not going on? Do you want them to tell you how to fix it or not fix it? Most of us would say that's ridiculous. If you went in before the doctor and said to him, oh, you know, I really don't want to change my life at all. So, you know, these situations I'm having in my life, please just don't give me any advice. I really don't want to change things around. We would be like, you're crazy. Now, some of us do that, don't we? Don't want to hear it. We already know. We don't even need to go to the doctors because we know what we need to be doing or not doing. But anyway, he's direct, and they love that. We read on. It was apparent that he was living everything he was saying. Quite a contrast to the religious teachers. Shame on us, religious teachers. This was the best teaching they had ever heard because he was living it. Sue, when she was talking about these families, the edge that they can have investing in their kids is when they are living it. It's not just teaching it, but it's what they catch. You ever done something, said an expression or whatever, had a behavior, and watch your your kid or grandkid just pick it up immediately, or some other kids around, you do whatever. They're like doing that. And they pick up the bad ones, right? You know, it's kind of funny. I can do things now with Rivers, and, you know, he does it too, you know. And the latest one we're joking about is he loves miscalling things stuff. So if he sees a dog, he likes to call it a cat. And, you know, and he knows what he's doing, and he thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. And, you know, and I go, where did he get that sarcasm from already? Oh, I wonder where that must be Cindy. Okay. I said, this is somebody I can work with. We can do some great things to your mom and Gigi. This is going to be fun. So, but Jesus did what he said. Claimed values was his lived values. Bad days, if you've been living your claimed values and they've been having compounded interest in your life, you're in a good place for the bad days. Because they're going to come. They're going to come. If you haven't been living that way, it's going to be a ride. You sometimes see these psychos that try to ride out a hurricane, right? You hear them, they've got some kind of telephone connection or something. Yeah, we're here, there's 10 feet of water in my living room, and we're up on the second floor, and you feel bad for them, but they were warned. They knew that was coming. And we all kind of go, yeah. We've got the same things in different expressions going on in our life. So don't be so hard on those people, because we do the same thing in different ways. So really quick, you can compare the builders. They both heard Christ. They both built homes. And they both looked similar. On a Sunday morning like this, our houses, our lives can look very similar. Even if we've built our house on a foundation of sand or a rock, it's not till the storm comes. So we can go years, decades, and our houses look all the same. We all feel pretty comfortable. But deep in the back of our mind, we know we've not been building our house on a foundation of substance. And we're just thinking that when the storm comes, we're going to kind of like be oblivious to it. It's not true. You're living a lie. I'm living a lie when I do that. The foundation matters. It matters in your physical house. It matters in your spiritual house. Contrasting again, one builds on the rock, one builds on the sand. You get that? When we talk about building on the sand, they will go on pretending to be devoted to God. They refuse to let that devotion change the way they live. Stay away from these people. It looks right, devotion's right, they, you know, looks right on the outside, but he says, stay away from these people. Not care for these people, not love these people, but stay away means don't let their ways become your ways. Don't be all paddling in the same direction and you're heading to Niagara Falls, but because there's 100 canoes in the water all heading to Niagara Falls, you're like, hey, nobody seems to be worried, so I'm not going to be worried. But you're heading to Niagara Falls. There's no doubt about it. And so sometimes with groups of people, we can be moving into a dead end, a day of destruction, and we're just all paddling together, smiles on our face, and we're all going. We're heading to the falls, and we will go over the falls someday. And if there's people in your life that make it easier for you to paddle to go over the falls, back off from them. You need awakening. You need to know that's crazy. We could say that about our national debt. We are paddling to the falls. And we're all going, as we buy new stuff. And, you know, we're heading to the falls. Someday, that can't go on forever. Don't know if it's next year. I don't know if it's 10 years from now, 20 years now. It can't go on forever. We're heading to the falls. That you may not be able to do anything about. But you certainly can do what your life is paddling towards, where you're building in your life. So when we have these bad days, if we've put some deposits in there, if we've exercised that muscle, we'll find that these bad days don't get wasted. So So don't blow a good bad day. You might as well wring that day out for everything it's got. Just squeeze it out. Get the good stuff out of that bad day. So when the next bad day comes, because it certainly will have, you'll have stronger legs to stand on to face it, and that big other bad day won't seem as bad. And then you've got people around you going, how do you deal with that? I've got friends that have disabled children. They have two of them. Desperate, they need nurse care around the clock. I don't know how they do it. Don't know how they do it. But they've got strong spiritual muscles. And when you bump into them, there's not a chip on their shoulder. I'm sure there's some days that are just so hard, but you don't see it, not because they're faking, because they're building their house on the rock. And they've not blown off those bad days. They've gotten everything out of it. I know you got a lot of more blanks to fill out in your message guide. You're just going to have to go online and find those answers. And you can figure out how they work together. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we would ask that you would help us not to blow the bad days in our lives. Help us to make them count. Help us to use them to strengthen our muscles. Help us to be making deposits in our lives so that we are building a foundation of rock, not sand. For many of us, it's a mixture. Half of our foundation is rock, half of our foundation is sand, or somewhere in the middle there. Help us to be making a switch. For those of us who have never said yes to you, never placed our trust in you, would today be the day that they say yes? And for those of us who have said yes to you, I almost could have people echo this prayer with me because they know what I'm going to say. Help us to continue to say yes to you in the daily things that are big and small so that we don't waste the bad, good, or the good, bad days. We thank you in Jesus' name.